Mr. Happy Living here, and I'm happy to be broadcasting from WITV7 in the beautiful Queen City, Charlotte, North Carolina, USA. Hey friends, please join me for a moment and just imagine, really imagine how wonderful you'd feel living the unique and distinct life you were put on this planet to live, doing work you love, with people you love, in places you love, and all the while creating something of real value for others. It's what I call a life of significance, and I can tell you it makes for a very happy life. And so can Pastor Don Wickstrom. He's my guest star today, and he's here to share his unique and distinct journey to his life of significance. Hey, Don, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Matt. I feel so blessed and honored to be here, so thank you so much for having me on, and hello to your listeners.
Wonderful. Hey, get us started by telling us what you're doing these days to make your mark of significance on the world.
Well, what I'm doing these days is racing up the side of a mountain and sharing the story of my fight with cancer while trying to achieve a childhood dream that I believe God's took us on, and bringing the story of hope to thousands of people. So it's been absolutely remarkable and such a journey.
Your subtitle of a movie is called The Race for What Matters Most. So what matters most, Don?
I think honestly, what matters most is exactly what you talked about, Matt. I think it's realizing that no matter where we come from, no matter who we are, that God has designed us with a God-given purpose. And so many times we think our past and even what our future looks like dictates the purpose God has for us, when really it doesn't. It's who he says we are, what we are, and the fact that he has a purpose and a plan for you. So it's up to us to seek that. And I think that is really what matters most.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So Don, let's do a little math and let our friends all around the World Wide Web get to know you through our happy formula. Yeah. It's really simple, but it's super powerful. It's purpose, power plus purpose equals happy. So let's start with power, Don. What are your practices for building up the personal power you need to get things done physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, emotionally? In other words, Don, what do you do on a regular basis to create all the power you need to take really good care of yourself and your loved ones and still have plenty left over to be a giver to others?
Yeah, you know, Matt, that's a great question. So I think first of all is spiritually be ready. That's a mental and physical thing. And I always think about in the Bible where it says, even before my feet hit the floor, Lord, I will praise you. And so the first thing I do when I open my eyes is I'm in the word, I'm praying. That's number one for me. Number two is because of my cancer battle, it then switches to the regimen for cancer. So I've got 58 different tinctures I'm doing every morning, along with about 38 different herbs and nutrients and things like that. Then I'm juicing. We're making sure we're getting the juice done. And then I've got another cancer treatment from Valasta that I'm doing. And then I go back into the word and spend some more time praying. And then I think the best way to start out the next part of the day is to then just take a moment, and I do gratitude. Every day I try to do gratitude, and I've got a little journal I've been starting to keep of a gratitude journey. And I think these are things that really help me activate, number one, what's inside of me that God's given me from a nutrient aspect, but more importantly, a spiritual aspect. And then we've got to turn our eyes to the mountain. You know, it's funny, especially since the release of the film, as you talked about, we have so much that we have to prepare for, because I have nothing to offer anybody except what God gives me through the Holy Spirit. So really just tuning into that and making sure as we share our story of hope that it's appropriate. And so those are really it. I think physically, you know, working out, doing what I need to work out, to stay fit, to stay in the car. I mean, you're talking your experience in several G's in a car, working out, walking, making sure we're doing the right things. And again, throughout the day, making sure we're eating what we're supposed to. Now, I'm not great at that all the time. I still love ice cream, and there's a few other things I splurge on, but I think those are good. And, you know, you hit on the part of financially. Number one is I think it's so important when you look at all the people around us in the Bible, they were givers. You know, I think of everything that we do financially should be prefaced around, how can I build the kingdom? And sometimes that means I sacrifice, and sometimes that means I store up, whatever it may be. But I think that's an important thing. And then working hard. I love to work, Matt. I love my job as a pastor. I love my job as an entrepreneur. I love my job as a speed shop owner. I love my job as a real estate investor. I love all these things that we get to do. but they have to have a good foundation to build on. So those are the things that I like to do to build those P's up.
Good stuff. So let's explore. It's my favorite power generating concept. It's called a Kaizen state of mind. And it's this beautiful Japanese idea that small incremental improvements add up over time to yield great big results. And I love it, Don, because it's based on mindset that I can control, not circumstance.
Right.
Kaizen in life is knowing there's always something I can do better tomorrow than today. And it creates this optimistic, gentle, but powerful and continuous uplifting of my life day after day after day. Mm-hmm. So, Don, how does Kaizen in your life help you increase your personal power to continuously become more so you can continuously give more?
Yeah, I think number one is, like you said, it's those small incremental steps. And I think every day I'm going to point to my quiet time and my gratitude journal. I think those are small incremental steps I make to unlock the power of me. I think secondly is, because I do suffer with some pain and things associated with the cancer, is realizing that God is so faithful that none of it is laid to waste. God is so useful. All our pain, suffering, sorrow, all these things that the world says are wasteful, God says, no, I'll use them for the good. He may not have intended them for us. He may not want to see us go through them, but he promised us he'll use them for the good of those who love him. And so I think those are the small steps, is keeping the eye on the prize of the fact that, listen, God still has a purpose for me. And so those little steps help me tremendously.
Love it. Okay, let's talk about purpose, the second element of the happy formula. And Don, I've observed that major life transformations and discovery of purpose often come from devastation, addiction, abuse, disease, death, disaster. Something awful strips a life to its core, resulting in a great big change. However, in my book, Turning Inspiration into Action, I share the transformational process that I've used to discover my purpose using inspiration. So how about you, Don? Was there a specific moment or event or crisis or inspiration that revealed to you the purpose you were meant to live?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, it wasn't the cancer. There was actually a time before that where I was in a wheelchair 68% of the day. I had an unknown issue. Mayo looked at me, couldn't figure it out. I went from a man that was working literally 20 hours a day. I would sleep 2 hours a day, spend 2 hours with my family. Things were out of balance, to doing everything.
What time frame was this?
This was actually about 2 years before the cancer hit, 3 years. Okay. We went a year and a half without knowing what was going on. And things were really out of balance. Like, you go from a place of doing everything to where now my wife has to carry me to the shower. She has to help wipe me after the bathroom. Goodness. All these things, super humbling. And then you have to trust the people around you to run your businesses, to empower them. It was such a journey. And I think it was that prepared me, honestly, to really look at my life and say, listen, my purpose isn't in my job. My purpose isn't in what I can make for my family or things like that. It really, my purpose, God had designed me to pour into others. Jesus did it, right? He poured into others. Disciples, they poured into others and sharing the gospel news. And then when I got to a place where we started getting healthy, all of a sudden I fell sick again, and along came the colon cancer. And when he sits across from you, when my doctor sat across from me and said, hey, listen, you have a year to live. You need to sell that business if you're going to have any chance to beat this cancer. There was no amount of work. There was no amount of building a business. There was no amount of cars, nothing that could change that diagnosis in that moment. But what did happen is I had the realization of everything God brought me through to that, to be able to handle that news well. And so I think it was that really that inspired me and propelled me forward to say, listen, God's much bigger than my circumstances. And no matter how this thing shakes out, I'm going to keep my mind. I'm going to keep my purpose. I'm going to keep my power pointed in a direction in which is where God has called me to be. And whatever he's called me to be, I'm going to do it in such a manner in which I'm going down swinging until I take my last breath.
Yeah. Were you pastoring before the cancer?
I was. So I've been pastoring. I was an atheist turned to Christian. And within 8 months of that, I was youth pastoring, and I've been pastoring since. I've been a full-time pastor. I've been a part-time pastor. Right now, I would call myself a full-time pastor, at least 30 hours a week. But I don't pull a salary from the church. I'm blessed enough to have some side hustle to be able to propel that forward and continue pouring the kingdom of God. But yeah, I've been doing that for a while.
Give me, if you can, just a couple of minutes on the second cancer and the miracle.
Yeah. So this is something that's incredible. So I wasn't feeling well, went back, found out that the colon cancer spread up to my pancreas. And obviously there's things it has to journey to. So there was a little bit more in that. And that really worried me. I mean, that one kind of got my attention, Matt, to be honest with you. And I went home and I told my wife, and we just kept it to ourselves because we're like, listen, cancer's cancer. In our mind, holistically, the way we're trying to beat it, cancer's cancer. Mm-hmm. We believe it's an evidence of something else in most cases. Hmm. And so we just took to praying and looking at the regimen, modifying it to try to go after things a little bit different. And a couple weeks later, after the test and everything else, I was at youth group, just got done pastoring, and a large, I say large, but he's a tall gentleman. His name's Joey. He's kind of a jokester. Came up to me and he said, Pastor Don, I believe I heard from the Holy Spirit that I'm supposed to come and pray for you. God wants to heal you of a new health issue. Now, I told no one. Hmm. And so, but I also was kind of like, I think Joe's kind of screwing with me a little bit. But he put his hand right here and he began to pray for me. And it honestly just, it became really warm to the point where it was hot and it started to hurt me a little bit. And I thought he was pulling a joke on me. I went to pull his hand away and I felt like God just spoke in the quiet of my mind, just give it a minute. And so I let him finish praying. It was a powerful prayer and I was moved by it. And I gave him a hug and we went on our way. Hmm. 3 days later, all the symptoms that had brought me to the fact of going back to the doctor and trying to figure out what was going on were gone.
Was his hand anatomically correct?
Yeah. I mean, it was huge. He's just like, I think it probably took up about that much, but yeah. It was just amazing to me. And so I went, my holistic doctor up in Madison, she was doing some blood work. I said, hey, can I get another pancreatic cancer test? She's like, well, we just did that one. I said, yeah, I'd like to get another one. This is what happened. She's like, I believe in miracles. And so we ran the test. She called me up, says, you got to get up here. So I drove up there. She's like, listen, it's negative. It's gone. There's like no trace of it. And she says, on top of that, your liver function has picked back up. Your kidneys have picked back up and your blood work is looking really good, Don. And so I said, let's run the test one more time just to make sure they didn't mix someone up. And sure enough. And so, you know, that was such an amazing thing. And I was so thankful, but it shows you as humans, right? I'm kind of like, God, why would you take care of all that, but yet keep the colon cancer intact?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just things we don't know, but I'm thankful for every moment I'm here.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think, you know, what's interesting is trying to think about God, which we all do try to figure him out, but it's just so immense. It's beyond, we weren't designed that way, right? No. He said, no, you little guys, I'm giving you the bread you need for today and a little bit of marching orders and that's it, 24 hours. And you can't have all 24, you only get 12. You're supposed to sleep the other 12.
Right,
that's
right.
All you can handle. Right? Is that right?
So true, man, I'll tell you what, it's so true. And I think sometimes I can just harm myself trying to figure it out. And there's so many times where I'm like, you know, Jesus, I'm just gonna let you work. God, I'm gonna let you work and do what you need to. And I think just trusting him in the process.
And it's so much easier.
It is.
It's so much easier. Yeah. Okay, Don, let's take a quick break for our sponsor to spread a little love with our audience. Mr. Happy Living here. I love good things made by good people. That's why I love my Relax Sauna. I bask in its healing far infrared rays every morning. In just 20 minutes, I sweat as much as if I'd run 4 miles. But I'm not exhausted. Instead, I feel great. And I've boosted my metabolism, burned calories, sweated away toxins, and some body fat too. What a relaxing and healthy way to start a day. A study in Finland found people who regularly use saunas live longer and have fewer fatal heart problems. So get the benefits of a sauna in your home for your family too. It's surprisingly affordable, it's portable, and it fits nearly anywhere. Go to happyliving.com and select Partners in Happy to get $100 off any purchase of $1,000 or more. And I'll donate another $100 for every order placed during the entire month of December to WYTV7. And we're back. And this is the Something Significant Show. And I'm your host, Matt Gersper. And my special guest star today is Pastor Don Wickstrom. He's a husband and a father, a pastor and a race car driver, an entrepreneur and a cancer fighter with a message of hope and passion for sharing our Heavenly Father's plan for the happiness and salvation of his children.
Yeah.
Oh, I do love that plan, Pastor Don.
Me and you both, brother.
And I think you're going to love this article I found on lifescience.com. It's called The Science Behind the Power of Giving. And it says the act of giving itself can be a gateway to discovering your reason for being on the planet. It tells us how science supports the idea that giving one's time and talents and treasures is a powerful pathway for discovering purpose and overcoming difficulties and finding fulfillment and meaning in life. So I updated our formula. Power plus purpose plus giving equals really happy.
Yeah.
What do you think, Don? Has giving your time and your talents and your treasures been a powerful pathway for discovering your purpose and for getting past difficulties that you've faced and for bringing real meaning into your life?
Matt, I'll tell you what, it really does. And you know, the thing about it is, we look at all the things we try to build up in the world, right? And all these things, like I talked about before, you know, businesses and money and houses and cars. At the end of the day, it's all but a vapor, right? We can't take it to heaven, but what we can take to heaven with us is the relationships that we establish in which they're rooted in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross through his death and resurrection that we can take into heaven and see people. And I think that takes exactly what Jesus did, giving them of himself, what the disciples giving them themselves. You know, I just as well just finished up a series on mental health at church. It was a 3-week series. And one thing that blew my mind was how gratitude, but then giving also changes our neuroplasticity and helps fight anxiety and depression. And it's been what you've been talking about all along, Matt. You look at all your past videos. This is something your listeners need to get, is these are so important in living in the power of purpose. And I'll tell you what, I've seen it in my own life. And I love it. I love it. There's nothing better than giving to someone an internal impact. And sometimes that does take worldly material possessions. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, you know, everybody says, oh, you know, the rich young ruler, I think about that. Jesus said, hey, man, sell everything and follow me. It wasn't that Jesus found what he had was evil. What it was a litmus test as to what we're willing to sacrifice to build the kingdom of God. And man, I'm willing to stop at nothing. I want to see people live in a purposeful, hopeful life that Jesus has for them.
And that's that element of giving, as you talked about, that helps bring real meaning to our lives.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree more. I love the wonderful feeling that comes from that fourth element of our definition of significance. Doing work. You mentioned work. We have to, work is good. Doing work that creates value, giving for others.
Yeah.
And I've learned firsthand, like you've been describing, that the magic of life comes not from getting more, but from giving more.
Yeah.
But there's more to it than that. It's not just the giving that's magical. What I've been learning from a lot of my guests, all of them really, and in my own life too, is it's when you're giving from living in your purpose, that's when you find the real magic.
Yeah, yeah.
But so Don, I want you to tell us, how does it feel to be happily living your life and giving to others through the work that you were designed for, that you were put on this planet to do, and the people around you have taken notice? I'd like you to sit back, open your heart, and have a listen to what people are saying about the impact you're making on their lives by finding and living that magic in your life. First person says, I observe families when considering a person's character, and Don passes that test easily. His family is faith-filled, loving, giving, committed to each other, and just plain amazing. Another says, I love being part of the local church family to which Don and his wonderful family have called their home. And another, there's only a small percentage of people that actually follow through on what they say and have a positive way of going about life. Don is one of those people. He helps others for no reason other than he just wants to help. And I think that makes him pretty special. Don is our family. His family is our family. Anyone who becomes his friend is our family. Don is enthusiastic, genuine, passionate. He's spiritual, loving, kind, helpful, supportive, generous. Speaking of generosity, there aren't many who even come close to matching Don's contributions with time and talents. Interesting. He has to be drawing on Holy Spirit fire and God's blessings to accomplish all he gets done. A fighter, an inspiration, an awesome pastor, and a hope to others. He found hope during the hard times and still has that hope today. He not only follows his own dreams, but shares his love for racing with other families. Pastor Don invited us all to go and share his first race at Pikes Peak. Just being a part of all the excitement was a memory we'll never forget. He loves talking about what can make a car go faster and still be within the rules. I'm glad he uses his passion for speed on Pikes Peak to share his testimony and his love for God. Pastor Don's faith in God is so strong. His passion for God comes through in his sermons. You can honestly feel the Holy Spirit emanating through him. He makes you want to be a better person and a better Christian. He won my heart when I recognized God's heart beating in his chest. And finally, thank you for allowing me the honor of speaking some words of affirmation over Don to God's glory. So, Pastor Don, you're clearly making a big impact on others by finding that magic and giving from living in your purpose. Tell us, how does all that love make you feel?
Humbled. I mean, I teared up a little bit there. I had a breakfast this morning with a gentleman, and I just told him, I said, man, it is so humbling and rewarding to live in a place in which you know you're doing what God called you to do, and that people are affected by what God does through you. This isn't me, you know, and I think of it like this. I have a friend who was at my first year with Gianna, where we actually made it to race day, and we're a little late getting us. So we had to get the car ready super quick and get me in it. And I was giving everybody a hug. And I remember later I was celebrating with him over some ice cream back in Wisconsin. And he said, can I ask you a question? I'm like, what? He's like, he says, when you hugged me, I thought it was weird. And then you ran into the car. He says, and then we're chasing you, and I'm watching through my lens on my video camera, your family and your friends, all of us, and the race officials chasing your car up to the start line. And you know, I realized this is the last time I could see Don.
Yeah.
How do you do that and still be so cool and so happy and so joyful, knowing that you could die doing something like that? I said, I'd rather die doing what God called me to do in purpose and meaning,
yeah,
than to sit on the sidelines and not meet that. Because there is such a joy to be experienced in knowing you're doing the purpose that I now get what Paul says, man, no matter what happens, I'm still going to count it all joy, right? And I think there's a lot to be said. So if you're out there, you're not living that happy life, begin to look at what Matt's talking about, what we're talking about here, and begin to soak that in, because some of the happiest people I found are some of the simplest life people. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. What I'm saying is they figured out the secret to happiness where nothing else matters.
Their secret.
Yes, their secret.
Their secret.
Their own secret. And that's through purpose, whether it's washing windows. I mean, one of the guys that made the most profound impacts in my life was a window washer in Chicago who washed windows in abandoned buildings.
Yeah.
So he could share the gospel. It was amazing. And I think in that you learn something.
Well, and that's what you're describing. When you find your purpose, that's what this show is all about, is finding that magic in each of our lives. And it comes from this great big happy circle. It comes from God.
Yeah.
But here on earth, it's giving your time and talents and treasures is the pathway to discovering your purpose. And giving from living in your purpose and God's purpose brings a profound joy to your life.
Yeah.
But the magic is, it's also to the lives of those around you.
Matt, can I share a quick story?
Yeah.
Around this? This is what I think brings home the point for me, exactly what you're talking about, is my first day at a church in Chicago. I went to a church. It's no longer there, unfortunately, but I went there and I opened up the big oak doors. Now, my buddy, Jason Beard, had told me to go try this place. I just moved down to Chicago, and I went in the doors, and on the walls in the foyer were a bunch of Polaroids. For those of us who are old, we remember Polaroids. And at the bottom, it said things like window washer. And this is where I met the window washer. And it said knitter and cupcake baker and all these different things. Well, later in the church, I realized that the pastor said, hey, listen, if you've got a talent, we're going to take a picture of you and write on the bottom of Polaroid. If someone in the community needs that talent, you're the person. Yeah. And then what he did is he said, within a year, I want that Polaroid flipped over, and we're going to write what you've called to do, what your purpose is, what God showed you through using your talents and your time and giving, what your purpose is. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about, is we discover that through using our talents and moving and being generous and giving and doing something.
That's it. And so the way we say it, giving leads to purpose, and giving from purpose leads to joy.
Yeah.
And when you understand that, then to more properly reflect the exponential power of the happy formula, Dom, we've got to tweak it just a little bit more. See how this sounds. I know you're an engineer. Power times purpose times giving equals happy to the third power. And that's really, truly, deeply happy.
I agree, because it's exponential, man.
There you go.
Formula.
Very good. All right. I learned in sales to say yes once you have the order. So let's wrap things up here.
All right.
With the lightning round. I love the power of words and the capacity for great quotes to change lives. So Don, I'm going to read a few of my favorites and then have you tell us what they mean to you. First thing that comes to your mind, because it's a lightning round.
Yeah.
Here we go. From Albert Einstein. Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous.
Duh. I mean, it's all around us, right? I mean, in seriousness, I don't get it when you look at creation, how you cannot believe in a God.
And this Albert Einstein, you know, super scientist, right? From Martin Luther King Jr. We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope.
Mm, mm. First thing I think of is what produces hope? Perseverance.
Very good. From A.W. Tozer. Mm. It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply.
It's all worth it. Again, God lays nothing to waste.
From Walt Whitman, to me, every hour of the light and dark is a miracle. Every cubic inch of space is a miracle.
Amen. I mean, I think one of the biggest schemes of the enemy is to take away the fact of how miraculous this world is and what God does through it.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. From Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. I love this one. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels.
Mm. It's not that hard to love everyone in truth, grace, mercy, and passion.
Beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being.
Care. I mean, it's not that hard. I probably sound like a broken record. It isn't hard to care and love for people. Just do it. Just
do it. You know, you say a broken record, but when you get right to it, it's all simple.
It is.
It's all simple. Do what you're made to do. Do what you know you're supposed to do. Love God, love others, be kind, you know. And when you do that, your life is easier.
Amen. Start being a hope dealer. Let's go.
Final quote. This is our show anchor from Goth. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin it now.
Mm. Go. I mean, the path starts with the first step. And while you're taking those steps, enjoy the journey. Yeah. Enjoy it. Soak it up. Good or bad, soak it up.
Very good. Okay, folks, now it's your chance to be a giver too. If you can hear my voice and you are inspired by today's show with the fastest pastor, Don Wickstrom, please share a little love with our fabulous broadcast team by giving what you can to WITV7. They're a 501c3 charity on a mission to educate, empower, and encourage. They do good works with your kindness. Don, I love your passion for speed and for people too. And I admire how you wrap them both with the word of God and fill them chock full of the Holy Spirit. And I'm super happy that you've shared your message of hope and your love for our almighty God on our show today. Will you please take a minute or two and share any parting remarks you'd like to leave with our audience?
Yeah, I think there's just a few things I want to touch on very quickly. Number one is, if you're listening this, your past has not forfeited your chance and opportunity to know and hear God's purpose for your life. There is no such thing. Listen to this. None that Jesus can't overcome. It doesn't mean we don't have consequences for the poor decisions we've made, but he is not done with you. Whether it be a cancer diagnosis, a jail term, a bankruptcy, a wrecked marriage, whatever it may be, an addiction, You are not defined by that. This is one thing that was told to me. The devil knows who you are, but yet calls you by your sins. Jesus knows your sins, but yet calls you loved and worthy. And so you are so worthy of the Father's love. You are so worthy of what Jesus did on the cross for you. And you are worthy of finding your purpose through going out there and taking that first step. Take that first step. Check out what Matt has to say on happy living. He's got so much good information there. Take that first step. Discover your purpose through doing. Unlock his formula to the third power and get it done.
Wonderful. Thank you, Don. I also want to thank WITV7 for hosting and promoting our show so we can keep interviewing inspiring guest stars like Pastor Don and reaching folks just like you, ready to create your own extraordinary lives. Most especially, thank you, viewers and listeners. You'll find links to websites and social media and all things Pastor Don Wickstrom. Find him, friend him, watch his movie called Chasing Hope, check out his cool merch in his store, and book him as a speaker at your next event too. It's all at fastestpastor.com. That's all one word, fastestpastor.com. One more time, fastestpastor.com. From me to you, dear friends, I love you and I want you to be really, truly, deeply happy too. So I want you to go to happyliving.com and take our happy quiz. Because when you measure your happy, you'll focus attention on it. And focusing attention on it inspires change and learning and improvement all to flow right into your life. And once you take the quiz, and it only takes a minute, then I hope you'll give some thought about what we can do together, you and me, to improve the happy of your world, one person at a time. Till next time, I'm Matt Gersper. You are awesome. And this is the Something Significant Show. And we're out.
Thank you, Matt. Really appreciate it.
Good stuff. Thank you. So we were saying, J.T. Cotton, Pastor J.T. Cotton, was a college teammate of mine. We played football. He was a tough, hard-hitting, mean linebacker. And I was a strong safety. And I just knew anytime I needed to go up against JT in practice, I needed to bring everything I had because he is going to knock the crap out of you. And turns out I run into him 35, 40 years later on Facebook. He reaches out to me and it's Pastor JT. What the heck happened? I couldn't think of it. There's no way. Is this the right guy? So we talked for a little bit. And then I was so impressed with him. I said, hey, come on the show. And so I invited him on the show. And usually with my guests, I was doing this, you know, giving from living in your purpose thing, but I was getting most of the quotes from, like in your case, I could have gotten it from some of the testimonies from watching your movie or from a book, or, you know, I was doing it that way, which was a lot, wasn't as personal. And with JT, I couldn't find anything. So I reached out to, I just did a Facebook trick. I said, let me look at his most recent posts and see who's, oh, and you called me on this. Hey, have you been reaching out to my people?
Well, no, we were wondering if it was a robot, you know, if it was spam or was it legit? No. They're like, is it legit? I'm like, well, I know that. I mean, so I'm like, I better make sure that
you did. Yeah, I forgot you had done that. But anyways, with JT, it was interesting because I have some friends that we have mutual friends from our football days, you know, back in 40 years ago, goodness. Right. And then he also has new friends that know him as pastor. And so I got this mix, 40 years separate of, yeah, JT was a hard hitting, mean ass linebacker. Blah, blah, blah. Pastor Cotton is so gentle and gives us this and that. And so I went through the old days first, and it was kind of an ego stroke because we love hearing about our football days. And then I got into, you know, how he's impacting people as a pastor. And this big dude was in tears. Aww. And this became a technique that I've started using, which is the reason I love it so much is when you are living life like you are, you're impacting people, but you don't even realize it. You're just doing what you're meant to do.
Right.
You know, you're just an artist, and it's easy for you. And people say, "Oh my God, I can't believe what you did." What do you mean? I was just.
I woke up this morning. I live my purpose. What do you want from me?
But the comments from the people that you've affected in your life shows that to our listeners. At least that's my hope.
Yeah, that was touching for me. It was touching for me.
Good, good, and it's from your peeps.
That's crazy.
And what's even most interesting is it's a stranger saying, "Hey, person who I don't know, what do you think about Don?" They're taking time, and some of them write, you know, very moving things, and so that's also moving by itself, as you know, they're responding in this busy day and time to give testimony to the impact that you're making on their life.
Yeah.
Anyways,
pretty smart move, Matt.
And so JT, he was doing some work with prisons also, and so he got me thinking about the question that you asked, and at the right time, and I'd love to talk with you about that, and love to collaborate on it. If there's any way that I can help, we have on our site an 8-week e-course.
Yeah, I saw that.
The whole gig is designed to find your purpose. I created all this stuff before I actually found God. I didn't find him. He found me in the middle of last year. I've written a 4-part blog post about it. It's pretty cool. But anyways, all of my stuff turned inspiration into action, all this stuff. And now I'm looking back and it says, it seems like he was kind of writing all this, cause it's all I could put God in all of it.
Yeah.
And so that's what this course is about. And I think it'd be great for anybody who you're in prison, you know, if you really want to change, you got to put in some work. And so this is a structured thing. Doesn't have God all over it. You know, it's non-denomination. But it leads you there. And if somebody can find their purpose, then they've found their God's given gift. They may not realize it's called that yet, but that's one step closer to being there. And so I think that's why that's what he's got for me. I think I'm supposed to be the non-God voice to lead people to God, like he led me there.
So, I love it. And so, Matt, full disclosure, when you reached out, we did our homework. So I pray and fast over every podcast before I accept it, you know, and I think I was transparent with you, like, hey, I'll turn it over to my team and I'll let you know. But that's what we're doing. And so it was really interesting for me to see what you're doing. And all I keep thinking about, so there's just been some, since this film's come out, it's just been nuts, man. It's been, sure. And I mean, yeah, in a good way, but it's super, like, every day I feel like I'm just getting more and more humbled by how God's using it and how big it's becoming, and especially talking with people. But we have some interesting stuff going on with a friend of mine, Dutch Bradley, who I met through being a second. He's into prison ministry. I've got friends, Band Reeves. They're amazing people. They're doing prison ministry. Bobby Godwin, which would be a really cool guy to have on your show sometime. He just loves people immensely. He was a center or a guard or a linebacker in college. Mm-hmm. I think he was so good. He was getting looked at from the pros. Loves people, doing some stuff with him. But what's funny is all these people have these different things. And And the more I was looking at your happy life and your happy formula, but that 8-week curriculum, I thought, man. And so there's some stuff we're working on in the background and we're trying to figure out how that's all going to fit. But if it can go to where we think it can go, I want to be able to grab the group of like people like you and pull them in and say, listen, if it goes the way I think it'll go, and I don't know how long it's going to take for fruition, we're going to find out here in a few weeks. There's a potential to reach 2 million prison inmates per week. Mm. And that's just in the United States. Mm. I don't know if it's going to go. We're praying about it. It's just kind of fallen into weird pieces and we're going to see what happens. But part of that is keeping the curriculum going because everybody's got their different thing they're doing. And I think we need something that's like a big puzzle we can put together that people can pick out and say, yes, that works for me. Yes, that works for me. You know, and you know, like Dutch's, his is a story of the guys who are in prison who've turned it around. You know, Band Reeves is, there's the stories of going and evangelizing in prisons. They're actually the ones I go do prison ministry with, who I learned how to do it with. Up by me in Wisconsin, it's been horrible trying to get into the prisons, but we're still working. But Missouri and Texas definitely seem wide open. Looks like we may have some more prisons over in the East Coast area and maybe upper West. We'll see. But this is a big opportunity. But the more and more I was reading about you, and more I went on your website, I'm like, man, could you imagine getting guys unlocked up? And I don't know if you saw Ryan's I Am Second video. There he is in prison, and he's realizing, like, I finally found my calling and my purpose in prison, leading small groups of men to Jesus in my prison cell.
That's
and I think that's big. And I think just having your information to push them there quicker would be good. So be praying. I don't know. It could go nowhere. It could go somewhere. Yeah. I think it's a spectacular thing. We're also working with I Am Second, how to join the bridge between those who are in prison and their families outside of it. So if I accept Jesus Christ as a prison inmate, we're trying to figure out, can we send them a care pack, letting them know what their loved one just did today, and then point them in a direction to say, hey, listen, if you want to do this, if you want to find, and I think it would be great, you know, to be able to lead those things. So we'll see how it goes. It's all new to everybody in all these ministries.
Yeah.
And I don't have the answer. I just feel like I'm the little string that God's putting in, and then all of a sudden he'll yank it and pull everybody together when he needs to.
Well, I love it. And I have a very simple philosophy in life. I match people's enthusiasm. So we can get all excited about something, and you say, hey, come up to Wisconsin. I'll get in my van. I'll come up and we'll talk. And
awesome.
Then you'll be the next step. And if we keep matching, we can go someplace magical.
That'd
and if we're talking and it just doesn't go anywhere, that's fine also. But
I'm feeling it will.
As we were talking, well, we both know if we know you have to take those steps.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be great. You have a great spirit. I love talking with you today, and look forward. We'll do more.
Sounds good, bro. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And we'll be in touch.